Okay. So the very, very most important thing is your image. By far, the most important thing is your image. Now, I would say I'd go as far as to say 70 to 75% of the success or failure of your ad is your image. And one of the biggest mistakes that people do is they don't include an image at all.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
Hi, this is James Schramko, and today my guest is Jennifer Sheehan, who's a fellow Australian and quite the expert in Facebook paid advertising. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello.
Now, we may know you under some different names because you've had quite a progression in your time online. I think you started out as PPC Mum, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, PPC Mom.
Now you have an umbrella company called Social Groove, and within that you've been focusing lately on Facebook stuff, and I think you've got a new site called FB Ads Lab, is that right?
That's right, fbadslab.com.
Awesome. Now, just to sort of step in here and find out what Jennifer's all about, you started out in internet marketing not so much because you needed to have a change, but it was sort of a family decision, was it?
It was. Yeah, my husband was working with a big company for 7 years, and he was the general manager of that company, and on a really good income, and yeah, it was really nice. And then he decided that, well, I guess we both decided that it wasn't really. It wasn't a long-term situation for us. Like he had been doing that job for 7 years, and you know, enough was enough. Like we never saw him. He was traveling all the time, and he never. I mean, we have three little boys, and we weren't seeing him much at all. So I just realized that we were completely dependent on his income, and I didn't like that feeling at all. So I really wanted to find a way that I could have an impact on our household income without having to leave my children and put them into childcare or something like that. So I started investigating my options, and, you know, there's lots of scams online and all kinds of stuff that's dodgy and questionable. But I came across Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. I know you've heard of that. And so I read that from cover to cover, and I just read it in like a couple of days. It spoke to me so that's exactly what I had to do. So I followed his formula step by step and wrote my own information product. And I had no idea about the internet at all. I used, I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's true. I used a GoDaddy website tonight package to make this hideous website. And it was just hideous, and I knew nothing about it, of copywriting or HTML or anything. So the good thing about this nasty package is that you can just plug in everything you want and set up a PayPal button. And I sold my ebook. So the first time I sold it, it was $17.95. I was like jumping up and down. But then it just started selling. Like, you know, I sold two or three every day, and I wanted to drive more traffic to it. So I started looking into Google AdWords to send more traffic to my site so that I could sell more ebooks. And that's how I got started with pay-per-click advertising, because I realized how quickly you can get a whole lot of traffic to a website and just dramatically have an impact on your income.
Yeah. When you started your pay-per-click advertising, did you lose money at the beginning?
Oh, you know, I don't think I did, because I didn't have much to play with in the first place.
So you set a small budget and you made the ads relevant.
Really small budget. Yeah. And I think that's a really good thing that I've had that experience, because a lot of people say that it's okay for the big guys, you know, who have, you know, big bank accounts to make all this money with pay-per-click. But the truth is, like, I had a tiny, tiny little budget to spend because my husband thought it was all a big scam. And he was like, there's no way spending any money on this. So I had this tiny little budget, and I think I started out with spending like $5 a day. And I thought, well, if $5 a day, if I can spend $5 a day on ads and I can sell an ebook, then, you know, I've made $12.95 that day instead of, you know, I just had. And then when I could see that I could spend $5 a day and actually sell 10 ebooks, then I thought, okay, I've got more money now to just slowly build it up and build it up and build it up. So, I mean, I have lost money on paid ads. Like, I think everybody who does them loses money eventually, but if you start out small, you can have a big impact along the way.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things I'd like to achieve on this call is we'll see if we can find some ways that people can maximize their spend if they're looking at Facebook advertising. So you've progressed from Google into other platforms, obviously.
That's right. So I immediately got into the deep dark world of CPA advertising, you know, pay-per-click advertising and the cost per action and networks and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty hardcore in there and with that sort of community. But the focus is on making money. So I think that was a really good thing. Like, everybody was there to make money and everybody had, you know, that was, everybody was very driven to make as much money as we possibly could. So I quickly moved from AdWords to Facebook, and there's also several other smaller networks. Like, one is called Plenty of Fish, which everybody knows is POF, and that's a dating network, but that also offers advertising on there. So that was really, really profitable for a while there. And Facebook ads is just something I just kept coming back to because there's so much potential for so little cost, and the traffic is so targeted. So that's what I'd love to talk about that.
So let's talk about Facebook for a minute. Where do you see the opportunity in Facebook? I mean, why are you so excited about it?
Oh, geez. How much time do we have? I could go on and on. It's the power of Facebook is in the users. And so at the moment, while we're talking now, there's 500 million people on Facebook. Every single one of those people has already given Facebook, voluntarily given Facebook, a whole lot of data about them. Now, from a marketer's point of view, that is a gold mine. So people are on there talking about, the average person is on there talking about what they like, what they don't like, how old they are, what their religion is, who they're married to, who they used to be married to, where they went to school, where they work, you know, what they like to eat, like all this stuff. People are talking about all their personal stuff. Now, in the past, marketing companies have paid people to answer surveys, and they pay for focus groups. Well, it's all there for us, laid out on the silver platter with Facebook.
Okay, so how do we actually use that information?
Okay, so, well, the first step is you need to have a product. So, yeah, either your product or someone else's product. If you're an affiliate marketer, you need to have a really good, exciting, interesting product, because if it's your product's not going to work, then it's not going to work anywhere, and Facebook is not the golden ticket. It's not the magic bullet. It's not any of those things. So if you have to have a good product and one that sells well, so yours or someone else's, that's the first step.
There's some products that they do not permit.
Yes, there's a lot of products that they don't permit. So, well, whether you call them products or offers or whatever, I suppose there's a lot of, Facebook are very funny is a nice way of putting it, about affiliate marketers. They used to love affiliate marketers, but because affiliate marketers brought in so much money, advertising money, into Facebook. So Facebook used to think, yeah, that's really cool. We love you. But now affiliate marketers have found so many ways to get around the system. And now there's a lot of like people spamming the system and being dodgy and putting up things like fake business offers, like, you know, make money with Google type rebill offers, diet offers, any email submit submits or zip submit. So if you have to just, the objective there is for people to enter their email address, and the affiliate marketer gets paid like $2 or $3 every time somebody enters their email address. So those are really not allowed on Facebook anymore. Now, there are still people doing that on Facebook, but they're breaking the rules.
Right.
So they're doing that by, you know, cloaking their links and redirecting and all that kind of stuff. But people get banned from Facebook every week. Hundreds of people get banned for doing that sort of stuff. So I do not recommend any of our listeners today get involved in any of those sort of shady offers.
Are there any types of affiliate programs that someone could look at if they don't have a product that you think might be a good start?
My advice in terms of affiliate marketing is that you find something that you are passionate about if you're just starting out, something that you really like, or a product you enjoy, or a service that you use. That's the first place to look. So if you are a member of a forum, or if you are you just love Netflix, for example, or you just love, the camera that you use, or something like that, it's a really easy start because you can promote that without having to really think about it much, because you just talk about it because you love it and it's helped you, and it's much easier to communicate that to other people. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but that's a good place to find offers. That
you did, and when yeah. you're when you found these offers, are you going to the extent of creating a site or a page around this, or are you just sending traffic straight to the affiliate?
Yeah, so the exact place to get the offers, I don't think I said that. So you could go to like Amazon.com has an affiliate program called Amazon Associates. You could also go to Commission Junction, has lots and lots of things like Netflix, for example, and tons of other very well-known brands are available on Commission Junction. So you can do that. And then any smaller products that you're an affiliate for, you can definitely promote those. So you can set up pages for them, but I don't recommend that to start because you don't know if it's going to work for you yet. So let's say you want to promote the new Flip mini digital camera from, you just got one and you think they're really cool. So you get an affiliate link from Amazon to promote it. You've got to make sure that the 4% or whatever you're going to get from Amazon is going to meet the advertising costs that you do on Facebook. So you don't want to go to all this time and effort and money of setting up a whole big site and doing all this stuff if you haven't researched and made sure that your market's going to be profitable. Awesome. So that's what I would recommend. I mean, but if you are a camera enthusiast, that's a different story. If you're a camera enthusiast and you're well known for being a camera enthusiast, then of course, then you could set up a whole website and have a Facebook fan page all about cameras, and then you could get your affiliate links and promote all different kinds of cameras. And that would be a way to scale up your affiliate marketing efforts, because you'd have lots of different ads. Yeah.
So back to the process. We find our product or our hot affiliate offer.
Yep.
What's next?
So if you're sure it's going to sell already, so if you've promoted it somewhere else, or you are already sure it's going to sell, or if you just want to test it, you could set up a simple Facebook ad to promote it, and then set a very, very low campaign budget and a very low cost per click. Now, when I say a very low campaign budget, I'm talking about, $10. You could do, $15 if you can afford that, $20 maybe for that campaign for one day. And when I say a low cost per click budget, Facebook recommend that you spend, like I was just setting up an ad before, and they recommended that I pay $1.72 per click for this ad campaign. And I put in my bid at 20 cents.
Right.
So then Facebook put up a big warning that says, warning, Facebook strongly encourage you to bid $1.72 because that's going to guarantee that you'll get some clicks or something like that. And I just ignore that. So, and often I get clicks for 20 cents. So that right there saves all of our listeners $1.52 per click.
That's a great tip from an insider.
So it may not work, and if you don't get clicks at 20 cents, then I up it to 25 cents. And then if that still, you know, after a day or so, you don't get any impressions at 25 cents, well, I'd be very surprised. But if then you might want to put it up to 30 cents. But at the moment, all of my clients are paying less than 30 cents per click.
Now, do you work on cost per click?
Initially? No. Well, look, yeah. Oh, you mean versus CPM?
Yes.
Well, that's a tough one, James. Yes, initially, and for people who are starting up, yes, I think so. Because you're going to be testing lots of different ads until you find one that converts really well. So I say my vote right now, Facebook changes all the time. Like every couple of weeks, there might be a different answer for this question because Facebook is changing all the time, every day. They change something. So right at the moment, I set up an ad and I choose cost per click. Like I told you already, I bid way low on what they recommend. Then I wait a day and hopefully that ad will convert and your click-through rate, which is the CTR, will be what you're aiming for is something to be 0.20 or above. Now that's not easy to get. I didn't say 0.02, I said 0.20. The average Facebook ad click-through rate is 0.03.
Right.
And so you want something that is 0.20.
So should we be talking about what would cause a high click-through rate on your ads?
Yes, we should.
Okay. Give us some tips there. So we're setting up the ad. What things are going to make people click through?
Okay. So the very, very most important thing is your image. By far, the most important thing is your image. Now, I would say I'd go as far as to say 70 to 75% of the success or failure of your ad is your image. And one of the biggest mistakes that people do is they don't include an image at all, which is terrible. Please always include an image. The second thing is that they include a very bad image. So they include either they're just their logo or a word or something that's not engaging at all. It doesn't catch your eye at all. So now I talk a lot about images, so I could go off on a tangent here. But what you want to do is you want to find something that is engaging. So eye contact is really important. Happy, smiling women with eye contact from the waist up is the best converting image that you could find.
Right. And so, that will work on a broad range of products?
For men and women in all countries, for all products, like a happy, smiling person, a happy, smiling woman from the waist up almost outperforms just about anything else. Now, you can have that happy, smiling woman doing something like, you know, I've got an ad running at the moment where I have two women who are standing at a stove and they're cooking. And you can see very clearly that that's what they're doing, but you can see them. They're happy, they're smiling, and they're from the waist up and they're cooking. And that ad has a very high click-through rate. And currently we're paying 4 cents a click for those ads.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of finding the right image that will send the right message for your audience. I've already told you about the woman, but there's also amateur type photos are really good. Photos that look like you just took them with your camera. As long as people can see what's in the image. So I think people make a mistake a lot of times of trying to put too much stuff in their image and you don't know what it is. So if you step away from your computer and you can still figure out what that is, what it's a picture of, then you're doing okay.
So you could go and you could actually take pictures with your camera and use them in
right.
The ad.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really great tip because that'll save you a fortune if you're doing this for affiliate marketing.
Does that sort of picking on the fact that it looks like someone's Facebook page or wall? Hello?
Yeah, Facebook people are really insecure and they avoid the aspect of things we're used to seeing. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Did I drop out?
I think so.
Oh, am I back now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, good. So that's You can also, the other thing about images is you can add text to your image. So I recommend people get like Photoshop or GIMP or something like that, a service where you can add text to your image so that if you have a big empty space in your picture, you can add, use that space to continue the title of your ad.
Very good tip. And of course, you're allowed to put a headline in these ads.
You are, unless you're advertising a fan page. So if you're advertising a fan page, then you can't change the headline.
Right.
So it's that headline is determined by the name of your fan page. However, that's where the text in the image comes in handy, because I've got another ad running where it looks like the headline of the ad continues into the image, which makes it stand out from all the rest of the ads on Facebook.
I used
a similar text and font and color to the ad headline.
Very sneaky. Do you prefer to drive traffic to a fan page or off Facebook onto an external site?
Yeah, I get this question all the time, and it really, really depends. Every client I have, I test both options because you never really know what's going to work and what's not. Up until a couple of months ago, I never really liked sending traffic to Facebook. I thought that was like really odd. But if your Facebook fan page, if you've got a custom fan page that is personalized and you have people on there who are engaged and active on your fan page, then it can work really well sending them to a fan page.
Cool.
But if your fan page is not customized and it's kind of bland, or you're just auto-posting, or it's not very vibrant now, then you're going to lose them. So you've got to be able to get them there and engage with them straight away and get them to comment on your page or get them to like a photo or watch a video or do something right away. Otherwise, you lose them, and then you won't show up in their news feed and stuff. So that's really, really important if you're going to send them to a fan page. If you send them to a website, you have an option of, you know, they can opt into your email list, or they can buy a product or get a free sample or do something like that. So.
Now, you can do that with fan pages now, can't you? Have opt-ins.
Yes, absolutely.
That's yep. been working pretty well for me.
Yeah, it is really good.
Okay,
very powerful.
So we've got a good product or affiliate offer. We've got a really awesome-looking ad with a picture and a headline.
Yep.
We've got a low bid, and we're using cost per click. Yeah. What else do we need to know?
Targeting. Targeting is another big mistake that people forget about. A lot of people are used to Google AdWords, and they think of keywords in Google terms, and keywords on Facebook are completely different. So I'd like to take a step back and just take it back to market research and understanding your competition.
Mm-hmm.
So before you even really create your ad, you should have a good list of all of your competitors. Who are they? Do they have fan pages on Facebook? If they do, what are their names, or what's the name of their fan page? Make a list of all of the people who are competing in your marketplace, all the people that your ideal customer may already be a fan of those people or may already be interested in those people. So find out who they are and understand that. And understand exactly, you know, who is your customer anyway. Like, if you have a fan page, you can get this information from the insights on your fan page. And you'll know if most of your fan page active people are women from the age of, you know, 45 to 64, well, then that's who you should be targeting on your ads. So market research is important. So once you understand your market, you can ads that are targeting exactly your ideal customer with Facebook. So, I mean, this is a whole lesson in itself, but the targeting, you can target by country, by state, by city, by gender, by marital status. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The name of the school that you went to, the suburb you live in, the place that you work. I mean, like all this stuff, you could get so targeted that you could target somebody that works with you in your office. Like, you could have your ad show up just on their page. So it's very, very targeted.
Wow.
So you understand.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but once you've made a list of competitors, you can actually somehow bid on those competitors' pages?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of giving away all my secrets here, James.
Well, I know so, a lot. I know you've got a few other ones that we haven't. I specifically haven't asked you about.
So targeting, what you want to do is you target people who like those things. So you, in their interests. So these are people who have typed this in, that this is what they like. So you could type in the names of your competitors, and as you type them in, a suggestion, a drop-down box will show up, and you can add them all in there. So it will say, you know, do you like dogs and cats and puppies and fish and, you know, like that. So it's anybody who likes any of those things. Well, your ad will show up on their page. Are you with me?
Yeah, it's a great tip.
Okay. Yeah?
Excellent.
So you can like all of those, you can put that in your interests. The other option, now this is something completely separate, you can also target people who are friends of connections. So in the connections section of the targeting on Facebook, there's an option to target people who are already fans of your page. And you would only want to do that if you were going to have a special offer or something for your existing fans. But you can create an ad that only shows on the pages of your existing fans. But you could also create an offer that shows on the pages of your fans' friends.
Uh-huh. So it's a little bit like banner retargeting.
Exactly. So what will happen when your ad shows up is it will say, James likes this already as part of your ad. So you're buying that social proof in your ad that other people like it. It's fantastic. It's like watching, you know, a TV ad that, you know, your friend is like pointing to it going, yeah, this is the company I use. And you, all of a sudden you pay far more attention to the ad on TV because your friend is going, I like these guys.
I have seen that on my page.
It's really
I've seen my friends saying such and such likes this, and it looks like an ad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always assumed that they'd taken out the ad themselves for some reason.
Nope.
Very clever.
Nope.
That's a good tip, Jennifer.
Off you go. Go create some things.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
Let me know how you go.
Yeah, we've got to wrap it up now. I won't get too many secrets out of you, but every time I talk to you, just give me one more little secret like that and I'm away. Now, obviously you've been spending quite a bit of time on this. What sort of volume do you have now in terms of advertising?
Well, there's a lot of volume. So we've got several clients that we're working with, and they're doing, you know, different volumes each. And our company separately, we're doing a couple of thousand in ad spend for my own personal stuff.
Great.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, that's every day, right?
Yes, that's right, every day. So it's after a lot of testing to make sure that we've got high click-through ads and profitable campaigns and strong sales funnels so that we know that we're making money, and then you can afford to ramp it up and keep driving the traffic to your page. The other thing that I think I should say is that Facebook is a little bit different from Google in that you can't, once you find a good converting ad, it's not really just enough to just leave it there because this ad is showing to the same people all the time. It's really important to change your ad up a little bit. Now, that's really dangerous when you've gone through all this testing to get a high click-through rate. But one of the things we try to do is make sure we have at least five different images that still convert at about the same rate so that you can rotate those ads through over a period of time.
Gotcha.
So that your customers are not seeing the exact same ad, the exact same image. Your click-through rate will drop and your cost per click will skyrocket if that happens. Another thing that we're doing, I have a friend who has a dental office. And so when she wants to increase her client base or her capacity, she runs an ad for about 2 weeks. And so we run her ad for a couple of weeks and she fills up her calendar, and then we stop it. And then when she's ready to ramp it back up again, we turn it on, and she fills up her calendar for a couple of weeks, and then we stop it. So that's really good too. If you want to start and stop and add, you know, with several months in between, you can still do that too, which is pretty cool. It's like just turning on a tap and money comes out.
So are you using a pause feature for that, or do you start the ad again fresh?
Well, this time I've been starting the ad again fresh, because when you pause ads, Facebook can get kind of funny. I'm not sure why that is, and because they keep changing things, and they're so young, and they're learning and testing, and you know all the Facebook ads are still manually approved by a real person, so you know things are still kind of unpredictable. So I've found that in some clients' campaigns, in some clients' ad accounts, one ad will get, you know, a click-through rate of 0.04. And then if I move that exact same ad to a different account, it gets a better click-through rate. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So it's strange.
I think my understanding is that
I would recommend people start.
It moves into a different bucket of ad inventory for some reason.
Yeah, and if it's something that's been running for too long, and Facebook just kind of already assume that that's going to be boring to their users, and so if you don't change up your ad, they just eventually stop giving you impressions. So, and they will stop giving you impressions if you're below 0.2 for sure. It's happened to us. There's a lot of rules that go unwritten. There's not written anywhere. It just comes from time and expertise and training and, you know, testing and over a very long period of time. Like, that's how we've learned all these different things.
We've certainly given us some good tips there about the right sort of offer, the right sort of budget, the right cost per click method, the images, the targeting, the insights, the connections, the friends. I suppose one thing we haven't discussed people might be interested in is, how do you actually track your conversions?
Well, it depends, again, on different clients. Some clients only have Facebook traffic, and that's it. So that's quite easy to track. I use a service called Tracking 202 to track the clicks, so I can use a special tracking link for each different ad. So I know exactly which one of those ads is turning into a sale. Like, if you have 15 different campaigns running to all going to one sales page, you won't know which one of those campaigns or which one of those 1,000 clicks were the ones that made. And every time that I have had that tracking set up, I find that the conversions are actually coming from one main group of people.
Yep.
One demographic. And if I didn't have that tracking in place, I wouldn't know that. And I would keep advertising to all those people who were never converting. And that tracking is really, really priceless. And Tracking 202 is free. It just takes time to set it up.
A good deal.
Yeah, that's right. So they're really good. It takes time to get it set up properly, you know, because it's fiddly if you have ever a different tracking link for every single ad. But it's worth it.
Okay. I've got one more question and then I will let you go. is there, I know with Google you have day parting and time parting. You know, is this important in Facebook? I read somewhere today a post, someone said that there's a lot more engagement earlier in the day on Facebook.
Well, there isn't the ability to time part your ads on Facebook yet. So you have to turn them on and you have to turn them off. There's the vast majority of my traffic comes from during business hours. So before lunch, when people are at work, is the busiest time. And it seems that after lunch, they have work to do and they leave Facebook alone for a while. That's been my finding. So yeah, sort of 9 to 1 in whatever time zone you happen to be in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's not a very big deal. Yeah,
having run an office before, I know that does make a lot of sense. think people don't enjoy their work in many cases. They're, I'd hate to think the actual cost of staff onto social media platforms these days, because it was starting when I was last finishing my last job. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Got a captive audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So if people want to find out more about this, you have you've got sort of a range of things that you're offering now, aren't you? You either do it for somebody, or you teach people how to do it themselves. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's what we do.
And that's at fbadslab.com.
That's right. That's right. And we can help either way.
Well, you've been helping me, and I'm very, very thankful for it, which is really why I wanted to share some of these ideas with our readers. And I'm pretty sure they'll go and look you up and find out more.
Sounds good. I hope they do. It would be great.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, James. Nice talking to you. Good luck with those ads.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.